Morning, everyone. It's good to see you in Grove this morning. If you're looking on the platform, that is not the brother that was announced. I do apologise for that. That's the difficulty of carrying two diaries. I should really just have one diary until this year is finished and then worry about next year's diary, next year when it actually comes. I do apologise for that, and I do thank Glenn for giving up his time to come and speak to us here in Grove. It's good to have him. We're going to begin by reading of Psalm number 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his own personal word. Let us just still our hearts just now and come to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, giving you thanks for your Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for all that he's done for us at the cross of Calvary and going to that cross to take away our sin. And we come to you this morning, Lord, truly a thankful people, Lord. Thankful not only for your hand upon us in this past week, Lord, but your hand upon us in this past year, Lord. We have much to give you thanks for, Lord, and we come this morning not only thanking you for your Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, but thanking you for your hand upon us, Lord, throughout this year, Lord, for the health and strength that finds us here this morning, Lord. We come thanking you, Lord, for the desire that you've placed in our hearts to want to be here this morning, Lord, to sit under your word, Lord, and to seek your face in prayer, Lord. And we come giving you thanks for it, Lord. We come praying for those, Lord, who would long to be here this morning, Lord, but because of illness, Lord, or because of advancement of age, Lord, they are unable, Lord. And how we pray for such this morning, Lord, you know their needs, Lord. You know their difficulties. And we ask that your hand would be upon them, Lord. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to those, Lord, whatever their issue this morning, Lord. Whether it be physically, Lord, or whether it be mentally, Lord, that they cannot come to this place this morning, Lord. And how we pray for them, Lord. How we ask that you would speak to them, Lord. That you would speak to their hearts, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, who are unsaved, Lord, and ask that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, that you would challenge them, Lord, that you would bring to the remembrance the word that's been preached in this place, Lord. The words that they've heard through the reading of your word, Lord. The songs that they've heard, Lord, that you would speak to hearts, Lord. As we come giving you thanks, Lord, for this past year, Lord, we look to you for the year that lies ahead in your will, Lord. That you would be with us, Lord, that you would guide us, Lord, that you would lead us in the path that we should go, Lord. Not for our glory, Lord, but for your glory, Lord, and your glory alone, Lord. We come praying for our brother Glenn, Lord. We thank you for him, Lord, and you know what the year lies ahead for him, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that your hand would be upon him, Lord. That you would help him this morning, Lord, as he preaches your word, Lord. That he would know the help of a thrice holy God, even this morning, Lord. And not only this morning, Lord, but in the year that lies ahead, Lord, in your will, Lord. Again, we come praying for those places throughout this world, Lord, that are persecuted for simply naming the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord. And how we pray that your hand of protection would be upon them today, Lord. That you would give them that blessed time, that freedom that we have to meet here this morning, Lord, with you, Lord. Protect them, we ask, Lord. We pray, Lord. Remember that land of Israel also, Lord. We pray that they would know the peace of a thrice holy God even today, Lord. We pray for those that would seek to share your word throughout that land, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would give them the health and the strength to do so even today, Lord. That in that land there would be people that would put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he alone would save them for time and for eternity, Lord. Again, Lord, accept of our thanks, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. And we look to you, Lord, even in this hallowed hour that lies ahead. For it's in Jesus' name we ask, amen. As I've already said, the speaker this morning is our brother Glenn Burns from Ballyhalbert Gospel Hall, and we do welcome him. It's good to have him along with us, Lord. Our service next Sunday, the 3rd of January, it'll be at 11:30, and our speaker there will definitely be our speaker here. I have spoke to him on Monday evening and just checked up. It'll be our brother Ian Wilson from Bangor. And all these announcements are made in the will of the Lord and subject to him.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all here. Thank you to Matthew for opening us in worship this morning, and also for asking me to come and spend time with you in fellowship here again this morning. Before we turn to God's Word, I just want to share with you an announcement. That announcement is that this might possibly be the last time I will be seeing you guys for the near future. I shared with Brian and Matthew the last time I was with you folk back in December, or at the beginning of December, maybe an end of November, I can't even remember the date specifically, that I've received a call to go and be the assistant minister in a church over in South London. So it has been a long wait for me, about 2.5 years, but I'm thankful for God's grace in giving me this opportunity to go and serve him over in the mainland. I would appreciate your prayers, and please be assured that I will be praying for you folk as well when I am over there, and praying that God will continue to help you, and that he will bless you in the coming days, as we don't know what this year lies ahead. Let's just turn to God's Word right now. If you want to chat to me a bit more to it, I will be more than happy to speak to you later on after the service. But if you have a Bible, please turn with me to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, and we're going to have a couple of readings this morning. Firstly, we're going to be looking at the opening few verses of Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And then we will be flicking over to chapter 3, and we will be starting from verse 22 there and reading through to chapter 4 and verse 7. So Galatians chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 1. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the churches in Galatia. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And then just turning over with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we will begin at verse 22. Verse 22 says this, But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And we will just end our reading there, knowing that God will bless to us the public reading of his word here this morning. Let's just commit ourselves in prayer to God, seeking his wisdom and guidance as he speaks to us this morning. Let's just pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we are thankful that on this Sunday morning we can come and gather to worship the God who made us, the God who loves us, and the God who sent his Son to die for our sins. Father, we are thankful that you did all of these things not out of pity or out of diligent duty, but Father, you did it because of this compassion that you have for us. Father, this steadfast love that you set before us from before the foundation of the world, that when you saw us in our sin and our iniquity, you saw us with every bit of evil raging through our bodies. Father, you didn't deny us. Father, you didn't denounce us. Lord, you didn't destroy us. But Father, seeing us in all that we would do, in all the ways that we would behave before you, a holy, holy, holy God, Lord, in the fullness of time, you sent your Son, who was born of a woman, who would be raised and walk in this world, and he would come to pay the punishment for our sins. Father, we are thankful that he did this not for the completion of the world, but he did this to redeem us from this world. And Father, in this we see the fulfillment of your plan of salvation. Father, we are thankful for the gospel. We are thankful for the good news which has been preached to us, that gospel which we first believed, and that gospel that we need to be reminded of time and time again, when we forget it, when we fall short, and when we slip up. Father, we need to be reminded of it because it's a reminder of your love to us. Father, we pray that as we look at your word here this morning, Lord, you would speak to us. You would encourage us. You would challenge us. Lord, you would help us to point our eyes to Jesus all the more often. And Father, that we would know your grace. We would know your assurance. We would know your compassion and your help in whatever circumstance we go through. as we realize that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from your precious, steadfast love. So, Father, be with us this morning. Speak to us and lead us according to your Spirit in order that we might know your Son, Jesus, all the more sweeter. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I must give a confession here this morning. I was kind of in two minds of what to speak to you about this morning. Whenever I was chatting to Matthew on the phone on Monday and I offered my services, I thought immediately that I could speak on the opening few verses of the book of Galatians. And then I was thinking, but wait a minute, we've just had Christmas, would it just make more sense to speak about a Christmas message of some sorts? And here's me fighting my own battle in my head what to preach on this morning. But then I remembered the words of a man who came to speak in Ballyhalbert on Sunday morning. I'm not sure if he comes here, Yule Finlay. Yule Finlay's from Brooklyn's Gospel Hall. Yule said this to us on Sunday morning: you cannot have the birth of Christ without the atonement of Christ. You cannot have the birth of Christ without the atonement of Christ. Very simply put, without Christmas, there wouldn't be the cross. And without the cross, there wouldn't be Christmas. And with that in mind, I thought it's best that we would look at the book of Galatians. And it reminded me that the book of Galatians is not just about the opening few verses, but there is so much more to it that reminds us of the hope that we have both in Christmas and also in our own Christian faith. And you know, the book of Galatians is a fascinating book because in this book, Paul is writing to a group of churches in Galatia. He's not just writing to one church, but he's writing to many churches. And you would find out more about these churches if you turned your Bible to Acts chapter 13 and chapter 14. For in Acts chapter 13 and chapter 14, you would read of the amazing things that God does in these places. And he does these things through Paul, Barnabas, and many of the other servants. However, between chapters 14 and chapters 15, there was an incident that occurred. And we know about this incident because Paul actually mentions it himself in Galatians chapter 2. You see, the gospel had begun to spread throughout Jerusalem. And the church in Jerusalem consisted of many Jewish believers. When I say Jewish believers, I mean that they were from a Jewish background, but they came to faith through the gospel and they were saved through the gospel of Christ. And these people consisted of men like Peter and John and the other apostles. You had the women like Mary and others. And then there was those who were added to the church by God as they met together in fellowship, as the word of God was preached. And we see that God added to the church daily daily. And as the gospel spread, Paul and Barnabas had taken the gospel and proclaimed it to everyone. They went beyond the reaches of Jerusalem, beyond the reaches of Judea, and they went to the ends of the earth. But they didn't just preach the gospel to other Jews who needed to hear the truth. They also preached the gospel to Gentiles, non-Jewish believers. And what separated the Jews from the Gentiles wasn't just their lineage or their bloodline, but it was also the cultural practices that they observed from what we know as the Old Testament law. So circumcision, kosher eating, observing the Sabbath day of rest. And so these Jews who saw that the Gentiles were becoming followers of Jesus, they believed that the Gentiles would only be true followers if they did the same things as the Jews. And so in Acts chapter 15, if you were to read it in your own time, you would see that Paul and Barnabas got into a heated debate with the Jews who are enforcing these traditions. And among these Jews is Peter, or as Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, Cephas. And also Barnabas, who is following suit. And they are both doing this out of fear. You see, this is not the gospel that Paul preached to these people. The gospel that is being taught here by these Jews, Paul describes it as a distortion of the truth. And you see, this gospel, which is the weight of the law of Jewish tradition, it places an unbearable weight upon the believer, a weight that they are forced to carry and they cannot sustain its load. And this weight is the obedience of the law by works in order to be justified by God. And so when we look at the book of Galatians, we see that the book of Galatians is not a message of oppression and legalism, but it is a message that destroys legalism and is a beacon of hope, which is freedom. Freedom that is found in the gospel of Christ. Freedom which is found in the hope of Christ and his completed work on the cross. And that frees us from so much that weighs us down, and that freedom that allows us to live the way that we were meant to. And we know this because when you look at verse 4 of chapter 1 in Galatians, we see the overarching theme of the book. Verse 4, and Paul writes about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And there are four things in this that we can see in this verse. And all these things are found in the gospel of Christ. Firstly, we see the readiness of Jesus in his death. This Christ who gave himself willingly. He gave himself willingly. You know, we know that at Christmas we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We know that we celebrate this God who became man. This, not only did he become man, but he became this infant, this child that was born and laid in a manger. And you know, when the Son enters the earth as man, when Jesus Christ was born, Jesus willingly entered this earth to proclaim the truth, and more importantly, to give himself to die on the cross. You see, nobody forced Jesus to do it. Jesus didn't go to the cross in the same way that when your kids were tired, you had to force them to go to bed. Otherwise, they would get grouchy and crabbit, and they would fight with you and they become stubborn. Jesus said this about himself: I lay down my life and no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and take it up again. You know, Jesus didn't die on a cross because he was human and he had a natural lifespan that he was fulfilling. You know, Jesus, when he was hanging on that cross, he could have taken himself down at any second. Jesus could have walked off that cross. He could have called legions of angels to defend him and uphold his cause. But in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, we see what Jesus did instead. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, the writer writes that he gave up his spirit. Jesus gave himself willingly. And secondly, he gave himself for this reason. He gave himself willingly for our sin. And the reason why we fall short of God's glory is that we simply are sinners. We're not sinners because of the things that we do, but we do the things we do because we are sinners. And because we are sinners and we are riddled with sin, We sin against a holy, eternal God, and the price for sin, as I'm sure you all know, is eternal death. Therefore, only someone of eternal worth could pay the price for sin against an eternal God. And so Jesus, out of his willingness and his readiness, he was willing to step in, and he pays the price for us. And his death brings justice to God and fulfills the debt that we couldn't owe. And so we see here that Jesus was willing to die, and he gave himself for our sins. And that the result of this in verse 4 is that he will deliver us from this present evil age, or this evil world. You see, we are not being rescued from guilt. We are not being rescued from fear, but we are being rescued from something which causes these things. We are being rescued from the power of this present evil age. We are being rescued from the power of sin. We are being rescued from the power of evil that is both all around us and the evil that is in within us. You know, John Calvin, the reformer, he said that the heart is a perpetual factory of idols. And what he meant by that is if you were to remove all the things around you that would distract you from God, that would not get rid of the fact that within your heart there is something that is still causing you to deny God himself. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, God said to his people that the heart is more deceitful than anything else, and it is desperately wicked. And so God rescues us, not just by cleansing our hearts, but he gives us new hearts. And in doing so, he rescues us, he delivers us. And so Jesus is willing to come to this earth. He was ready to die for our sins. And the result of his death is that we might be delivered from this evil present world. But when we look at the final part of verse 4, we see that the root of Jesus' death is found in one person. It is according to the will of God and the Father. You know, the plan of the gospel came before the foundation of the world. The plan of Jesus entering this world as a baby came before the foundation of this world. All of this is because of God. All of this is because of our Heavenly Father. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, which is actually one of the passages I was thinking about before coming here this morning, there is a list of people. And that list starts from Abraham and stretches all the way down to Jesus. And you know, Christmas is a time that we always think of lists. And we hear the songs and stories of this omniscient red coat man with a white beard who sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake. And he has a naughty or nice list. And yet, that is not what Christmas is about. Christmas is not separating the naughty from the nice. But when we look at this list in Matthew chapter 1, we see a list of people, this family heritage. And when we turn to Galatians chapter 3, Paul continues to speak about that family. He speaks about the promise that was delivered to Abraham and God's servant back in the book of Genesis. And he speaks about this seed which is to come. The seed which would deliver people. In chapter 3 and verse 16. But when we come to verses 23 onwards, we are looking at what is known as the law. And the law is simply the Old Testament commands that were given to Moses and his people. And when you think back to the book of Exodus, when you think back to the things that Moses was told by God to tell the people, he was given this covenant, these two tablets, and these tablets were to be given to the people as an act of their love towards God. And the law was simply a schoolmaster, it says here. It was a guardian. And that word guardian there, it comes from the Roman tradition of a guardian being a slave who would look after the child until the parents were able to take them back. Now, the guardian did not want to hold them, but the guardian was bound by law to look after them. And yet, when Paul goes through here in Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4, he says that after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We are no longer under the guardian of the law. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And whenever I was talking earlier on about how in the book of Galatians, Paul is trying to segregate from this false gospel of legalism, which was found in Jewish tradition, to the gospel that was preached, this gospel of freedom. This is where we see the freedom of the gospel in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, the gospel does bring freedom. Whenever Christ died for our sins and we believe and trust in him by faith, we are not set free from our sin to live the life that we choose to please. But we live the life according to what God has called us to. You know, God just doesn't set us free from our sin and tells us to run free like we set loose an animal. But instead, he sets his spirit within us. He gives us this freedom that we are called to live the life that God has made us for. You know, J.I. Packer said that one of the greatest blessings that we have been given in salvation is adoption. And what do I mean by that? Well, whenever you put your faith in Christ Jesus, whenever you look at the cross and you see that Christ died for your sins, that no longer that you have to work your way to attain some sort of merit in order to please God to be justified, that at that moment of faith, you were no longer an enemy of God, but you are something greater than his friend. You have been made his child. You have been bought by the blood of Christ. You have been brought into the family of God. And when I talk about that list of people in Matthew chapter 1, that list begins with Abraham and it goes through the family heritage that brings us to Jesus. You too are part of that family. You too are part of that promise. Chapter 4, Paul says this, now that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth from a servant, nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ. You see, this is what the freedom of the gospel brings us. This is what the freedom of the gospel means to us here this morning. We are no longer obliged to follow the law in order to be set free, because the law in itself cannot deliver freedom. But we are justified and we have peace in Christ alone. Let me just give you very quickly three points of application to help us as we leave here this morning. Firstly, this freedom gives us assurance in what Christ has done for us. You know, Peter and the other Jews might have been sincere in their teaching to the people. They might have thought that what they were doing was the right thing and telling them was the right thing to do. But sincerity isn't the same as truth, as I'm sure you all know. Charles Spurgeon once said that if you sincerely drink poison, it will kill you. If you sincerely cut your throat, you will still die. You see, you must not be sincere, but you must be right. And we live in a culture today where sincerity triumphs over truth. At the end of the day, what you believe and what the person out in the street might believe might be different. But the person on the street might believe that whatever you believe is different, but we'll all get to the same place in the end. Well, unfortunately, if you don't believe in the gospel of Christ, if you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins, then yes, it is true, you will get to the same place, but you'll only get to the same place as everybody else who doesn't believe the same truth. You see, Jesus himself said there is only one way to get to the Father. There is only one way to have peace. And that way is through the person who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. That one who came to this earth to die for our sins. And you see, you'll not find freedom in your sin from the wisdom of modern thinkers or even the ancient thinkers like Confucius or Buddha. See, your freedom is not found in what you do in your life, with your family, or your careers, or whatever it is. But your freedom is found in Christ alone. And what that means is this, is that you no longer have to worry about what you do in order to be right with God. All you have to do is believe in faith what Jesus has done. And by faith, you are saved. Now, don't get me wrong, none of us here deserve this. None of us deserve what Christ has given us. But despite that, God has given us this gift of grace. And through faith alone and Christ alone, we are brought into the family of God as promised by his word. And it's not about how much faith we have or how little faith we have, but it's merely who we place our faith in. It's merely who we hold on to. And in Christ, our faith is completely secured no matter what, and we have freedom for our souls. Secondly, our freedom allows us to live our lives unhinged from fear in this world. And you know what? We may just have entered a 6-week draconian lockdown as described by the government. And whilst we may have this glimmer of hope through the vaccine and through other vaccines that have been put into circulation, there is still a lot of uncertainty and fallout as to what this year may bring ahead. But we mustn't fear what tomorrow may bring, because we know ultimately who is sovereignly in charge. We don't need to live in fear, because we trust and we have faith in the one who sits on the throne in heaven. And that's not to say we will never worry or ever have anxiety ever again. But whenever we turn to God's word and we are reminded that our souls are secured in Christ, that we belong to a family whose lineage can never be destroyed, we see that our greatest need has been met. And not only that, just as the birds are looked after, so too God cares for his children. And finally, our freedom allows us to live in love towards God and towards each other. You see, true freedom in the gospel doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want to do. But freedom in the gospel means that we are free to live our lives just as God intended us to do. You see, we are no longer to be like legalists. We are no longer to strive to be right with God through our works. Nor are we to be on the flip side to live licentiously and to live in freedom and do whatever we want to do. You see, the gospel calls us not to submit to a yoke of slavery or to a yoke of sin, but we must learn to walk by the Spirit. And when we do so, we begin to cultivate lives that allow us to freely love God and to love others as well. You know, the Spirit helps us to prune away all the bad things, the brokenness, and all the sin in our lives, those things that strangle our love and both for people and for God. And instead, the Spirit produces fruit, this fruit of joy, of love, of peace, of patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. And when the Spirit works in us, when the Spirit causes us to produce these fruits, we can share these fruits with other people. We can share that love with other people. We can share the blessings and the sweetness of God with other people. And you know what? Whenever we do that in such a dark time as this, people begin to see maybe there is love in this world. Maybe there is true hope in this world. And that hope is not through some fabricated story that we hear once a year at Christmas about a big red guy. Maybe this hope comes from a manger. Maybe this hope does truly come from a child who came to this earth in order to redeem us from our sin. You know, when we love God and when we love others, we do so in the freedom of the gospel. We do so in fulfilling not the law of slavery, not the law of legalism, but we fulfill the law of Christ. Our practice of loving one another is both a reflection of the love that God has shown us and how we in return love him. So we have freedom in the gospel of Christ. But we are not set free to do what we want. We are set free to live the way we were intended to do when we were created by him, by God. And when we look to the cross, we find our freedom in Jesus and his death. It's in his death we are rescued. It's in his death that we are set free from evil and sin. It's in his death that God's plan is fulfilled and we are now his children. So we walk by the Spirit and it's with the freedom that it gives us. Freedom in the gospel. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in love. Freedom given to us from God. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's just close in prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that when we turn to your word, we can find hope in the midst of darkness. Lord, that whenever we open these pages and whenever we read the words, light shines right to our souls and the darkness cannot hide it. And Father, we are thankful that light is the same light who entered this world. This light who was veiled in flesh. This light who within him was hidden the glory of God. And that light, even though He was crucified on a cross for our sin. He is now alive. And he now sits at your right hand. And no one can extinguish that light. For he will radiate forever and ever. And we are thankful for the hope that you have hidden in our hearts through him. To know that one day we will leave the pain and sadness of this world. To know that this is not the end, but this is only the end of the beginning. So, Father, we look forwards with joy and anticipation. We look forward to that day when we will be reunited with Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are thankful that we can look forward with hope because we have freedom that is found in the gospel. So, Father, we are thankful that we are part of your family. Father, we are thankful that we can call you our Heavenly Father. And Father, we are thankful that no matter what happens to us in this world, nothing can separate us from you. For we have been bought with a price, and nothing at all can nullify or void that ransom that was paid. Father, as we leave here today, as we look forward to the week ahead, Father, we pray you'll continue to be with us. Lord, that you will help us. And Lord, that you will use us wherever you want us to serve you. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to trust in you and your Son. And Lord, help us to walk by the Spirit always. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.